when we put ourselves in a position of allowing God to use us in any capacity that He wants to, there's no way to put a price tag on the reward, because it's not an earthly reward, even though we see the effects of it.
This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Praise God, it is another beautiful day.
Today, we have a friend from Facebook, a man that sends me vids, Anthony Bensel. Hi, Anthony.
Jim.
What's going on with you, Anthony?
God has been going on with me in amazing ways, Jim, that astound me. You know, I'm realizing for a while, but I'm still realizing that when we totally put our trust in God and allow Him to move through our life, He takes us on a journey that we never know where it's going to be or end up or how long. Or
yes. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I guess I'm at the place to share about at the end of 2017, God put in our heart that we were going to move. We had no idea where we were moving to because nothing was opening up. And usually it's always been one of us gets an inkling and okay, it looks like we need to look over here or check this out, or I would get it or whatever. You know, and we would land different, you know, to do that. But at this time, it was things were changing. I was doing a job in Harrisburg working on a house that was being restored. And at the end of the year, I was supposed to finish up the job. And the guy says, well, I'm not paying $5,000 for you to finish up the job. So that was my bumper pad for the next few months. Well, he just took away my bumper pad.
Oh, my.
And so we were like, okay, God, you got this, but what you got, we don't know. And then we had been renting, and our landlord came and gave us an eviction notice that he gave the house away.
Oh, my.
And this was two or three days before my son that's in the military was coming home for leave over Christmas. And I'm like, well, I'm not even going to look at that note. My son's coming home, and I'm going to spend time with him. And so we did that. And he gave the house to another ministry, and I met the pastor. I knew of him, but I met him, and I told him, I said, I know we're supposed to move, and I know that's going to happen, but God has not given us a place, a time, a verdict, nothing. And he says, okay. He says, in January, he says, I'll give you another month to stay here. And he was expecting me to pay him rent, and I said, look, my bumper went away. I can't pay you anything. I mean, we just have enough to take care of what we have at the moment. So he said, okay. And then he asked me later about when we were moving. I said, the time came for the date to be moved, and we were still there. But the funny thing of it is, right before he came, one of my very dear friends, they had just bought a house in Pasadena, and they moved from Glen Rock, Pennsylvania, to Pasadena, Maryland. And she called me up and said, hey, brother, you can just pack all your stuff up and move in our house in Glen Rock. So that's what we did. We packed up I said, well, we're going to need a week to get people here to help us pack, you know, get packed up and get us moved. So that's what we did. We went in there and put everything in their basement. And then I had agreed to help refresh their house so that they could sell that one. So we ended up being there 2 months. And we're still like, okay, what's next, God? I mean, they're saying, you know, the end of next week, they want to start doing this and that, and they, you know, our time here is up. I said, okay. So I'm talking to a friend of mine who lives in Branson, Missouri, but she's in California visiting her son. And I call her and tell her what's going on. Excuse me, I'm going to sneeze. And she says, well, just come to Branson. You can stay at my house. So anyway, she said to move, come to Branson, and you can stay we can stay at her house. So we packed everything up again and took it to our storage. to storage. We went to Branson, Missouri, and we stayed there, and we'd go out through the Branson area into the stores and Walmart and all that, and lay hands on people and pray for the sick and watch God move or give them words of knowledge and read their mail. And and there was this guy, I knew he needed prayer, and he knew he needed prayer. And he goes, I said, can we lay your hands on you and pray for you? He goes, I don't need you to do that. I'm the choir director.
Oh, that would do it. Uh-huh.
And he'd get right out the door. And then another person that we were in a Walmart, she was a believer. She said she was a believer. And we were talking to her and saying, well, God wants to heal you. She goes, God can't heal me of this. I'm like, excuse me, God formed you and created every part of you. He knows exactly how every organ, every bone, every joint, every sin, everything works. And you're telling God he can't fix you? You know, it's very interesting because some people are like, please pray for me. Yes, that's awesome. You know, and we see instant healing, time after time after time. And it didn't matter what it was. Now, of course, if it was cancer or something like that, you don't see an instant. They have to go and get checked out. And so we spent 2 months there, which my wife at the time said, well, I only thought we were going to be here 2 weeks. So when we packed up, we each had a bag or two. We had her keyboard and her guitar, and that's what we did. And so we started having meetings, and God and Holy Spirit would show up in incredible ways. Because we never put a ceiling on it. Most places I've ever been is I can look up and see they have a ceiling over what God can do. I've never had one, and her and I never put one on. It was his show, not ours. We just came to act out what he wanted us to do, so to speak. So yeah, and we were doing these meetings, and God was moving, and people were getting wrecked all the time. And then we come to the end of our time in Branson. And the end of our time in Branson, we had one more meeting. And this time, everybody in the house was wrecked. And we were totally wrecked. If I recall, I think my wife had stepped back from the keyboards. And the keyboards kept playing anyways.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
And you could hear the angelic. I'm just reliving that moment right now. Because those kind of moments you never forget. So anyways, we were undone, totally wrecked. And all of a sudden we were in another place. Every one of us that was in that meeting was in the same place I was. And we left the room to land in another room. And all of a sudden I look to my left and I look up and I see this man walking towards me. But it wasn't just a man. It was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the ruler of heaven himself, dressed and looked just like he was described in the word, the scriptures. Walked right through us. And we were like, what just happened? And we were totally undone again. Oh man, when you see Jesus in his robe, his crown, his sandals and all that just walking through you, there's nothing that you can hide, nothing you can do. You just receive. Thank you. So out of that, then we started going different places as led by the Holy Spirit. And I find that there's very few people that I know in the church that will get in the trenches with people and live with them and help them in whatever capacity, whether it was, I have enough background in construction and rehabbing houses and all that stuff. I'm very handy that way. And sometimes we would go to a place where Holy Spirit led us, and they would say, I've been praying for you guys to come. They didn't know it was us that was going to show up, but they were praying for some God to send somebody. And we would go and just love on them and just be what God wanted us to be for them, whether it was repairing a floor, fixing a toilet, putting in a new sink, or just doing a total house renovation on them spiritually. And we did this for, oh, wow. Now we've traveled around from Branson, East Virginia, Branson, I don't know, Kentucky. I don't even remember all the places, but we would get prayed into different places, and God would move. We ate whatever they fed us. I was not on anybody's payroll. I was not getting support checks every week or every month. We went with what we had and trusted God. But God made ways to give us funds. He always took care of us. And one of the strange, kind of funny, but sad things happened. We had a, it was my son and I, we had a 1983 Porsche 944 that we'd been working on. And in an 18, remember how bad the flood waters were from all the rain? Well, we had to go back home, and I went to go check on the car. So there was a place that we landed in Pennsylvania that the lady, she was a grandma, an older elderly woman, said, I've been praying for you to get here. And she was going through some things and medically and on drugs that she didn't need to be on. And so we just poured into her. I cooked all the meals, and because that's something I'm gifted with is cooking. And we just had an amazing time there. And got her to a place where her whole family saw that she really was different. She was not who she was before we landed there. And it was, and I went up to the garage where the car was kept, and there was still water laying on the garage floor from all the rain that came down that season in 2018. So the river, the stream below flooded up, and it was up, at one point it was at least 6 inches up on the car. None got inside the interior, but because it's sitting there for so many months, it was covered. The tires had started to get white mold on them. The interior was completely covered in white mold. It was a black leather interior. Just all that kind of stuff. And it's like, well, and my wife said, I'm never getting in that car unless they redo the whole interior. So I'm like, okay, God, I guess we'll have to call the insurance company and see what they're going to do. Call the insurance company, and they sent out a guy to get to look it over and all that. And Jim, he was one of the rudest people I ever met.
Okay.
He was telling me, your car's a piece of junk, and you're not going to get nothing out of it. You're lucky if they'll give you $600, blah, 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 blah. I said, you're really unkind. He said, oh, I've seen this stuff before, and I've done this, and I've done that. I have my own body shop, and on he'd go. And I said, you don't know anything about this car. You don't know what we put in it, what we invested in it. You have no clue. But I do know this, the insurance company policy says there's a $25,500 in policy payout if this car is totaled. Oh, you'll never get that. They'll never give you any of that. That's okay. So I got a notice from his stuff came and said, well, you're going to get $680. And then I got this... the Lord told me, I want you to, I know, let me, okay, now I'm getting the picture better again. I was in my car driving on a Monday, And I heard the Lord say, give so-and-so $1,100. I said, Lord, that's really going to eat into what we have left. He says, well, I ask you to give him $1,100. So, you know, it's on you, whatever you want to do. So I talked to my wife, and she goes, that sounds like God to me. So I gave the people the $1,100. They needed it. They needed it for rent, or they were not going to have their place. So the next day, I'm driving down the road somewhere across town, and I get a phone call. And the lady, I answered, she goes, hi, this is so-and-so from your insurance company about the Porsche, the 83 Porsche 944. We decided that we're going to give you full payout on that for $25,500.
Wow. Oh, my. Oh, beautiful. Thank you, Lord.
And so that's what happened. So I got a check for almost, you know, $25,500. And that check carried us for a lot of that trip that we had. And not only that, but then, of course, and that's all okay. Not everybody's willing to do this, but Holy Spirit would prompt me to give somebody X amount of dollars here or X amount of dollars there. Or so I'm voting. I look it back and I'm saying, Lord, I think I gift offering, it's about giving. And I probably gave $7,000 or $8,000 out of that $25,000 to other people, ministries and so on. And it's just how it goes. You trust God. He brings what you need. We were able to stay in hotels when we needed to. We didn't always stay in a hotel, but we could also eat somewhere and not think about what we're eating. We could go somewhere we want to go to. But we did this for months on end. And when I landed back in PA, we left again. And then we got another call from a couple that we had mentored numerous years before. And the wife was on Adderall. I'm trying to think of exactly what it is, but she was on this for 2 years. She'd be up all hours of the night.
Adderall, highly addictive. I guess it increases dopamine and norepinephrine. Highly addictive.
If you take it too long, it does crazy things to a person. And she was claiming divorce, and they had children from previous marriages, both of them. So she was always given his son the worst of times, you know, not being nice to him at all and all this and that. We ended up landing there. And I just feel the presence of God. So I guess I am on the right track today. And so we ended up moving or going there and staying there. We stayed in our basement. But when dinner time, normally dinner time, you eat anywhere from 5 to 7 o'clock. Well, her husband would tell me that, yeah, we never get to eat till 10 o'clock at night. She never has food ready till 10 o'clock at night. And then she'll be up half the night. And I mean, it was just, she was a mess. She was a mess. We were probably there going through this. I started taking over the cooking, and everybody loved it because we'd eat at maybe at the latest by 6:30, 7 o'clock. And fortunately, God has always blessed my food. So they were getting top-notch food with whatever I made and stuff, and just doing that. And just, we just loved on the kids, loved on the family, and doing all kinds of interesting things and fun things in a sense, but also ministering to them. We were probably there 6 months. At the end of the 6 months, God had intervened in her life, got her off of all that stuff, got her mind straight, got her heart straight, got her delivered from a bunch of stuff. And the husband comes crying to me and says, this is the best my wife has ever been.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm. Oh, my. Yes.
You know, I'm starting to get a little teary-eyed here. But when we put ourselves in a position of allowing God to use us in any capacity that he wants to, there's no way to put a price tag on the reward, because it's not an earthly reward, even though we see the effects of it. And I'm so grateful, even though I don't talk to a lot of the people anymore. It wasn't about that anymore, but it was about just being the hands and feet of God, bringing to the table whatever was necessary to see lives change forever. You know, there's more stories, more things, but as time progressed and we shifted on, we ended up back in PA. Then I ended up at a former Mennonite campground, which now was just a Christian campground, because I grew up as a Mennonite. So me functioning and operating in all this was not Mennonite protocol. They didn't function and believe in the giftings and all that of the Holy Spirit. They never talked about prophecy. And you never seen them laying hands on the sick and getting healed right there. But they believed in praying for the sick. There's no doubt about it. They believed in the gifts, but they didn't believe in the operational, that it's still fully functional the way the gospel teaches us it is functional, that it's part of who we are. It's part of what we have to offer the world that the world don't live in or see or carry.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it's just been an amazing time. And I went through another trial soon at that, later on that end, where things got very difficult. And my former wife now, she went down a substance abuse road and went down a alcoholic road. And from where she lived when I met her, to the place where she decided she didn't want to be a part of my life anymore. That was a journey. And it was a tough journey, because I said, God, you know, here we are. In 2008, I told you, I'm good being single. You told me I'm at the best place I've ever been in my life, but I'm single. I said, I'm good with that. If you have somebody for me that you already picked out and want to join to me to be my partner and run with what you put in me to run with, I'm open to that. In 2010, that person came and we got married in 2010. Well, came in probably around at 9, but we got married in 2010. Formal marriage in 2011, and we ran this whole thing together. But along the way, Jim, and this is a sad thing, but I see it in people all the time, in couples, in wives. Somebody gets hurt, not intentionally, but they take that and they swallow it. And when you swallow a seed, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Something's going to start growing, right?
Yes.
And if it's a bad seed, you get bad weed.
yep.
And you get bitterness and unforgiveness starts growing. And that's what happened through that marriage, because it got to a point where things had really shifted. And I felt like I got tossed into the back seat and she was taking over. So at the end of this other part of the journey I was just sharing about, she started drinking because she had pain. Pain from an accident that she had years before I met her. And she would, the more she drank, the worse the pain got. And I'm like, damn you, enemy. Excuse me, but, you know, and I would find bottles everywhere. She'd go and buy bottles of liquor and hide them all through the house. And then at one point, she was got all messed up, something. I don't know exactly what happened. But I called. I said, we'll pray, but if nothing changes, we'll call the ambulance and take you to the hospital tomorrow morning. Well, get up the next morning, she was still the way she was. And they came in to get her, and they said, well, it looks like everything's saying that she's had a stroke or a heart attack. And so we took her to Holy Spirit Hospital, and they did all this stuff with her and said, oh, she had her liver dumped all the sodium, apparently. So, and then continued through that. She continued drinking and then just did things, and she would get meds from the doctor. And so she was becoming addicted to meds and drinking. But my wife at that time got worse. I couldn't stop her. She would just run to the store and buy stuff. And I took her to detox a few times, more than a few. One time she wasn't home, and it was 11:30 at night. We're out driving around. We found her laying in somebody's yard, out cold, missing her phone, her glasses, and a shoe. Picked her up, brought her back to the house, and we were going to have her go to rehab. And it was very difficult. And so then she started to seemed like she was getting better. About 6 months later, she went downhill with all that and got worse, started really pounding everything. I went to talk to her, and she says to me, if you take me to one of the rehab places, I'm going to tell them you did all this to me. She had bruises all over her body from her falling and running into stuff. I literally had to help her. I cleaned a bed after she couldn't hold herself. Cleaned her clothes, took her clothes off, dressed her. Whatever I had to do, I did. But it put me through something I'd never been through in my entire life. And then later that night, that said that to me, that they were going to tell that I did that. I walk in the bedroom, and something hissed at me out of her mouth. Imagine that. So eventually, soon after that, she ended up going to rehab and so on and so forth. And she said God told her he's going to restore our marriage and all this kind of stuff. And that part never happened. But I said to God, I said, look, you put her in my life for a reason and a purpose, and I accept whatever all that was, and I know you'll show me what it was.
Okay, Anthony. You have been very personal with us today as you share. Could you pray, or would you like to pray, for someone, some people out in our...
Sure. God, I'm just so grateful and so thankful for who you are and who you showed me I am, and that you love all your children, the ones that are walking with you and the ones that haven't come to know you yet. And I just pray that the hound of heaven will reach out and touch their hearts and draw them into you, and that they would hear, or they have heard today, something that reaches inside of them and says, I need God. I need help. I need this. And they will understand and know that you are with them, because they're going to feel you. They're going to feel your presence. As you ask me to become a presence carrier, I release that anointing. I release that presence out into whoever's listening to this message, this story. Because it reveals places in people, and it touches their hearts in places that some places or messages will not touch them, because when it comes from the real life experience and the heart of the person with the Father's touch, he can intervene. And so I pray an intervention over your life, whoever you are, in Jesus' name.
So today we were visiting with Anthony Bedsall. If you would like to learn more about him, his ministry, you can find him on Facebook. And on Facebook, he is A.R. Bentzel. Thank you.
It's been my pleasure and honor, Jim.